Top 5 Sci-Fi Visionaries. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I am Matt Anderson.
And I am the irreplaceable one and only Ben DeVoto.
And?
And?
We?
Are back!
Are back.
I forgot my line.
You'll get it. Well, it could be worse.
Yeah.
We could have COVID here. We could be the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
They made fun of our tagline.
Yeah, I know. Bringing you theology at warp speed. That's cool.
I came up with that. That was good.
Yeah, that is good. So,
yeah.
Take that, Strangers and Aliens.
Yeah. Take that, science. I need to scour the web for some Take That, Science material because I missed that segment.
Take that, science.
Take that, science.
On the next news episode, I've got some pretty great stuff for...
It's the Stanley Quote of the Week.
Ooh, cool.
So you can look forward to that.
Yeah.
Ben, when you told me you wanted to start coming on the show again periodically, I haven't officially let you back on yet.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, technically your spot's been filled.
Yeah, but technically it hasn't because no one could fill my spot.
So...
That was a little arrogant of me.
When you first approached me about coming back, you right away just threw out some ideas for a show.
I did.
Three, actually. All good.
I bet Kobe hasn't come up with any ideas.
He did, actually.
Not any good ones.
You know what he wants to talk about?
Probably Chuck Norris.
He wants to talk about Scientology.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
It kind of makes sense because a science fiction author came up with a religion.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Would you call L. Ron Hubbard a sci-fi visionary?
No.
Kind of. He created a whole religion that Tom Cruise likes.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't take much. I could create a religion while we're recording. So take that, Tom Cruise.
So top five sci-fi visionaries. Ben, before we start and give our list, because
we
have five of them, five people on our list.
I only have one list, but it has five people on it.
And I have some runners up.
I do.
Of course. Tell us. So you had kind of said something along the lines of, these are not creators, these are visionaries.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
There's a difference. Big difference. Visionaries are people who show us things we've never seen before or in ways we've never seen them. For example, as opposed to a creator who is simply creating good stuff, good material or whatever, I think the way I explained it to you is to draw a comparison between somebody like, say, Joss Whedon, who, mm-hmm. you know, he's done some awesome stuff with Avengers and Buffy and all this, but you look at those, most of the stuff that he's done, and while he's doing it in new ways and sometimes better than anyone else ever has before, it's not necessarily stuff we've never seen before. We've seen stuff on vampires, we've seen superheroes, all that. Joss Whedon's taking stuff that's already been done and doing it in a new and cool way.
Okay.
Compare that to maybe the Wachowski brothers.
Yes.
Who...
Are they on your list?
I'm not going to say.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. who... introduce us to these cool worlds, and they show us things we've never seen before. They blow your mind the way they're able to imagine new places. But outside of the first Matrix movie, their track record has been pretty hit and miss in terms of quality. So I draw a distinction between a visionary who is more focused on the experience and the immersion, and a creator where a good creator will always have top quality. A good visionary may or may not have top quality in their works.
That's interesting.
Yes.
What? Can you expand on that more about the top quality thing?
Well, I think that you have people who are able to create quality works that aren't necessarily original, like what I was saying with Joss Whedon. And then you're able to have people who...
Can you give us another example besides Joss Whedon?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan.
Okay.
Outside, Inception was a visionary movie, but you take like the Dark Knight trilogy. We've seen superhero stuff before. He's doing it better than anyone else ever has, but it's not necessarily, we've never seen a Batman movie before. Even The Prestige, we've seen stuff like that before. He's just doing it, and oftentimes better than anyone else ever has. And then another example on the visionary side would be a guy like Tim Burton, who just has this incredibly creative design and this great artistic
low
mind.
Low quality, though?
But fairly low quality in terms of story and characters.
Interesting. Oh, that's pretty interesting. Good. Well, should we get So that was a good explanation. Should we just get right into the top five?
Should we dive in?
Let's dive in.
I'm ready to dive in.
I think, I mean, you're the guest.
Guest?
Why don't you give us yours first?
I am the original.
The original guest, correct.
Well, gonna evict Kobe. Kobe, I'm coming for you.
So this, I should tell you, this is actually episode 80. Congratulations, Sci-Fi.
All right.
And yeah. We just recorded an episode about the Sci-Fi Feud, but that's coming next. So some of the things you're alluding to, we recorded, but they're coming on episode 81.
Okay, well.
No, but it's okay.
That's like a sneak preview. This is like the prequel to the episode. We should record in order next time.
Otherwise, this is confusing. Well, the reason we have to have this one being episode 80 is because if you remember back to Sci-Fi Christian season 1, we would put these top five episodes out maybe every five-ish.
Wait, what season are we now?
Season 2.
Okay.
We'd use calendar years.
Ah, year 2.
Season 2.
Season year 2.
Year 2 of the Sci-Fi Christian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
That's exciting.
So watch for that episode 81 where Ben may or may not be feuding within.
Within the Sci-Fi family.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's go. Number five.
I have science fiction author China Myvill. Have you ever heard of China Myvill before?
No, I just realized. As you were saying that, I realized this whole episode is gonna be you naming people I've never heard of.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Give it to me.
So China Myvill's written a few different novels that I've read. His most famous is probably Perdido Street Station, mm-hmm. as well as The Scar.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. So add those to your to-read list. I'm actually not a huge fan of his work in terms of characters and stories. I think his works tend to be maybe a little bit dull in terms of pacing, but...
It reminds me of Ben DeBono.
Oh, my gosh. Are you starting an inner family feud?
He's nice, but dull in his pacing.
Oh, my gosh. You know?
Okay, so dull is... Go ahead. Take it away.
I think I have expert pacing. You want to talk dull in your pacing? How about getting up for bathroom breaks every 10 seconds? That is dull. Nobody wants to hear you pee, Kobe.
That's not actually what happened.
So China Myvill, what he's an expert at, though, is creating monsters and creating these incredible worlds that they inhabit. He really draws you into the imagination. The way he's able to visualize stuff and then put it down in text in a way that really makes it come to life almost cinematically for a reader. It's pretty cool. So if you enjoy good monster stuff and you enjoy seeing creatures, you are reading about creatures who you can hardly even imagine and just crazy crap that happens in his novels, check him out.
Give us one. Like a monster that he created that now everybody knows about.
I don't think there's one everybody knows about. I mean, they just kind of exist in his...
Like he didn't create Godzilla?
No, he didn't create Godzilla.
You said his name was China, though, right?
Yeah, but that was Japan.
I know, but it's nearby.
Asia's all the same. Drift, edit that out.
Sorry. I'm just going to let that hang. I'm not going to edit that out. I don't support that belief.
Neither do I.
I'm not editing that out.
That's fine.
That's sticking in there. I don't believe what you just... I don't believe what you just said, but I want people to like you less.
Yeah.
Because there's already been people requesting that you take Kobe's place on the podcast.
for good reason.
So
what am I not doing right now?
Not texting.
Or
going to the bathroom in the middle of the show.
You got it.
Sorry, Kobe.
All right.
All in good fun.
Number five.
Now, I want to say this. As soon as we first started talking about this idea, this is the first name that came into my head. So right. He's not my number one, but I needed to have him on my list. However, just with everything on the table, all the cards on the table, I've never read anything by this author.
I'm excited to hear this.
Isaac Asimov.
Oh, yeah.
Number five. Now, I know that he's done a lot in the realm of science fiction. I know about the robot laws.
Yeah.
I know about the foundations.
Yeah.
Foundation, non-plural.
Foundation.
I know that I want to read it. I know that I haven't read it.
What more do you need?
So I'm familiar with his importance to the field. I have to be honest, though. I've never read things by him. But like I said, had to put him on the list. First name that came into my head. Do you have him on your list?
No.
Could you elaborate on how good he is? You've read.
Yeah, they're short books, actually. So they're all like under 200 pages.
Barnes & Noble actually has them all bound together. I was thinking about picking that up.
Oh, yeah. How's The Hobbit going, by the way?
Oh, it's going well. I'm on chapter 7.
Oh. Like, how many months have you been on chapter 7?
Well, you know, I'm in school and...
Yeah. Not judging. It's like...
I'll have it done
this
by...
This is like Bookaholics Anonymous.
I'll have it done by December, which is... That was the goal from 2011.
By the way, I was going to ask you a question.
Should we talk about it?
What do you think of the fact that The Hobbit was made into a trilogy?
I, at first, was worried, but I have high hopes because I found out that they're not just drawing from The Hobbit. They're drawing from some of Tolkien's personal notes, some of the backstory he had in his mind but never was published anywhere or doesn't exist in any media. I think the history book that you told me about called The Silmarillion.
Silmarillion.
That they're going to draw from that.
I don't think they can draw from that.
I heard they're going to.
They don't have the film rights to it. They can do the appendices.
Okay. So because the thing I like about the idea that they're making it into a trilogy is if they draw from these sources that aren't commonly known or even in some cases don't exist in any sort of media form but were always in Tolkien's mind, I love that idea.
Yeah.
If they're just expanding it just for the sake of making more money, that'd be a downer.
Yeah, I'm worried they're going to be drawing from Peter Jackson's brain. So
you are not happy about this?
I'm a little worried about it. I hope it's cool.
Another thing that is kind of weird about it is the fact that they had two movies in mind. We're just a few months away from the first one coming out. And so now all of a sudden they're like, no, we've got plenty for two more.
Yeah, it could be a mess. It could be a big mess.
So, yeah.
But yeah, Isaac Asimov, huh? So what about him as visionary to you?
Foundation.
What about Foundation
robots?
Visionary to you?
He sets up a world.
Okay.
That he saw ahead of time. Some people have referred to him as a sci-fi prophet.
Is that from Wikipedia?
Speaking of Wikipedia, did you know that Asimov was one of the most prolific writers of all time, having written or edited more than 500 books and an estimated 90,000 letters and postcards?
Yeah.
His work has been published in all 10 major categories of the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? I'm not familiar with the Dewey Decimal System other than library card.
Well, that's what it is.
But what does that mean? Published in all 10?
They must have like big categories.
Oh, gotcha. History, card catalogs.
He's written books about Shakespeare, the Bible, and so...
What is your favorite book by him?
Oh, well, Foundation is good. He's not a particularly great writer.
The funny thing is I have people on my runners-up list that I do know things about.
Yeah.
So for me to put him at 5 was solely because...
He popped into your head first.
Because I think... I've always heard so much about him. I've heard about him. I've heard him referred to as a visionary in the past. So he's like on the cusp of my mind when it comes to visionary works. So listeners, if you agree, you can write us at
feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Or if you have some other people you want to add to this list that we're saying today, call us at
612-719-2604. No, that wasn't right.
That wasn't right at all. I just wanted to see. 612-4121-SFC.
SFC.
Wow. You are horrible. Okay, number four.
Number four, Terry Gilliam. You know
Sword.
Who he is.
Sword Sharna.
No. You're thinking of Terry Brooks.
Yes. No, Terry Gilliam from Monty Python.
Monty Python. Yes. Brazil. 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, I love 12 Monkeys. I've seen Brazil. Did not like it. I know he was working for years on Don Quixote. Never got off the ground.
Now, I did like Brazil, but I think this is a classic example where even if you didn't like it, you can recognize the design in it. Yes. It's pretty off the wall crazy. Yes,
I can agree with that. He did the one with Heath Ledger's last movie called...
The... Imaginarium of Dr. Perasness or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see that?
I did not.
Me either.
No.
So why is he your number four?
Well, I was waffling back and forth with him because, Brazil's pretty awesome. We've seen dystopian stuff done before, but never like that. And he took it in this entirely new artistic direction.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really pushed him over the edge and said, okay, he's got to be on this list, is his cartoon animations for Monty Python. They're so bizarre and so off the wall. And really one of the weirdest things Monty Python ever did, which is saying something. And that alone in my mind, paints him as a great visionary, the fact that this crap came out of his head. It's kind of terrifying to think that somebody actually could think of that stuff, but he did, and it's bizarre and amazing. I'm not entirely sure if it's good or not, but it is something else. And so if you haven't seen Monty Python, check out his animations. Yeah, they are a sight to behold.
He's kind of a weird guy.
He is.
He's kind of a weird guy.
He was born in Minnesota. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't really care that much. I reacted strongly for no reason. I thought he was British, like all the rest of them.
No, he was the one American member of Monty Python.
Boo. America. That's not true. That's not. I don't feel that way at all.
Wow.
That wasn't fair. Sorry, America.
I insulted Asia. You insulted America.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess we're even.
Yeah, yours was pretty bad. Yours was borderline. I was going to edit it, but I decided just to let it hang there.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all good.
Just for the record, though, folks, I did edit Ben once earlier on this.
I said a naughty word.
Yeah, you're not allowed to swear on the Sci-Fi Christian.
I know. I forgot.
All right. Next up.
Number four.
Somebody who I have read something by.
Ho-ho! Damon Lindelof.
H.G. Wells.
Oh. Okay.
You have him on your list?
No.
Why don't you like him?
Well, he's not particularly visionary.
What? Listen to these book titles that people know about and the concepts he's created prior to most other people. The Invisible Man. He invented the idea of a time machine.
Wait. Wouldn't the Invisible Man be, by definition, the opposite of visionary?
he invented the idea of a time machine. No one
did he?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Positive.
How positive?
60%.
If you are right, then I'll give that to you. He's a visionary.
Not only that,
my list,
but his radio presentation of the War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Visionary.
Well, it scared the crap out of people.
Yes. and the idea of a War of the Worlds in general, pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So I think he came up with some concepts prior to a lot of other people. He saw into the future, and who knows? The aliens could come and attack our world any point, and who would have come up with it?
Well, but he wasn't he wasn't really trying to talk about aliens. War of the Worlds is meant to be a metaphor for British colonization.
Exactly. See how visionary he is?
Well, that's not visionary. That's social commentary.
He is socially good at commentating on things.
Okay. Well, I'll give them to you, especially if you're right about the time machine, which I'm not sure you are.
All right. While you talk about your next one, I'll do a little research on that. So, number three.
Number three is a name that you probably won't recognize, but
yeah,
whose works you are familiar with. H.R. Giger. Do you know who he is?
It sounds familiar. I believe he invented that instrument that tests for radioactivity.
No.
The Geiger counter.
No.
Yes, he did.
He did not.
You could be wrong about this.
He is an artist who did all of the... He's most famous for doing all the design work for the Alien movies, including the most recent movie, Prometheus.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're not even listening. That was...
So,
what kind of response is that?
I told you that I was going to research a time machine while you were... All right. I'll look you in the eye. Go ahead.
Okay. So H.R. Giger.
Yes.
He invented all. He did all the drawings for aliens. If you've ever seen his drawings, they're crazy detailed. They're awesome, and definitely a visionary guy. They are very quite inspiring. So check him out, H.R. Giger.
That's it. He drew things.
Yeah, he drew some awesome stuff.
No. Why is he your number three?
Have you seen his drawings?
Have you? Shut up.
Google him.
I'm not the kind of person that just goes and uses the internet to find all my information.
I understand. I totally understand.
Okay. I'm making a quick switch and I'm bringing in my number three.
Number three. Any news on the time machine?
I couldn't find it, but I'm going to keep. But mostly because you made me make eye contact.
I did.
Number three, I am going to dive into television.
Uh-oh. Here it comes. Damon Lindelof and Carlton Goose.
Are you familiar with Gene Roddenberry?
Yeah. Star Trek.
He created Star Trek. He created this world. He's looking into the future, having a vision of what it could be like if everybody from across the universe bands together into what? Yes, a federation.
Yeah.
Peace, tranquility, Roddenberry.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been documented, but
I mean, I like Star Trek. I didn't. He was. At first, I was like, "Is he? Should I put him on the list? Is this just going to cause a fight between me and Ben when we're just now starting to reunite?"
Yeah,
but had to put him on.
I'll give him to you. I think he's your best entry so far.
Thanks.
I'll be kind of judgmental about your list. I'm not sure why.
No, like, I don't mind because actually I kind of hate your list too.
Okay, well that's good.
Yeah,
mutually. We haven't had any overlap so far.
No, I'm glad.
Kind of crazy.
I'm glad. I have only two remaining. Which speaking of. Number two.
I had to put him on here. J.R.R. Tolkien.
J.R.R. Tolkien is my number two.
All right.
Nice job.
So we did finally overlap.
Yes, he was my number two as well. I would like to have you talk about him first.
Invented a genre, went crazy with inventing languages for his world and everything. I mean, nobody... You see all this crazy world-building stuff that's done now and how popular shows like Game of Thrones are and fantasy is big and everything. Never would have happened if it wasn't for Tolkien. He took the fantasy genre, resurrected it, and did crazy things that nobody ever thought possible. So,
I agree. And I like the way, as we talked about earlier, he thought and planned and envisioned things so much, even to the point of... He's got books of notes that we don't actually really read about.
I do.
You do. Most people don't really read about, but they exist because as he was creating the world, he created this entire backstory. He saw a whole history in front of him. So
yeah,
I'm really impressed by him, actually.
Yeah,
the more I learn about him.
He's quite a guy.
So as I was making my list, I thought, we're saying science fiction, that he's more fantasy, but we always do this. Well, we at the Sci-Fi Christian... say that under the science fiction umbrella will be fantasy, horror, superheroes, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Well, as I was researching...
Strangers, aliens, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So as I was researching these visionaries, I came across this term that I've heard before, but I hadn't really looked up what the definition was. Have you heard of speculative fiction?
Yeah.
Now, listen to what one of my favorite websites says about speculative fiction.
Wikipedia?
Speculative fiction is an umbrella term encompassing the more fantastical fiction genres, specifically science fiction, fantasy, horror, weird fiction, supernatural fiction, superhero fiction, utopian and dystopian fiction, apocalyptic and post-apocalyptic fiction, and alternate history and literature, as well as related static motion and visual arts. We actually might be the speculative fiction Christian.
Yeah, but that doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well. So I think we should keep it at the sci-fi Christian.
I'm just saying, how do you feel about spec-fi Christian?
That sounds a little weird.
I think next week we might have a name change.
Okay. Well, you're the boss.
I know. We're not really going to change. But it is interesting to note, we are on board with speculative fiction.
All right. Now,
high fives.
The spec fiction Christian, it sounds like a name Kobe would come up with. Just... awkward and weird and so long you have room for a bathroom break in it. So that totally sounds like a Kobe-esque name.
Wow. I can't believe you're just diving
just laying
in.
Just laying it on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Laying it on.
All right. Number one, Ben. Who is your number one?
I have a tie at number one.
Amazing. I don't.
I have a tie between John Milton and Dante Alighieri, the authors of Paradise Lost and The Inferno.
I only knew Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
What's the other guy?
Dante.
Oh, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Duh. He has a last name?
He does.
It's amazing.
It's Italian. And I think it's pronounced Alighieri.
Nicely done, Ben.
Thank
so
you.
Tell us about this tie, supposedly.
Well, I think both these authors took biblical concepts and envisioned them so vividly and so powerfully that it influenced not only literature, but also influenced the way we think theologically about things like hell in Dante's case, or about the fall of Satan in Milton's case.
Hmm.
You look at the way most people, if you were to ask people, tell me about the fall of Satan, they would probably articulate a story that's closer to Paradise Lost than is to the Bible, even if they've never read Paradise Lost.
Mm-hmm.
That's how entrenched that story is in our culture.
Yeah.
Same thing with The Inferno. If they were to ask people, what's hell about? They'd probably articulate something closer to Dante's Inferno than anything in the Bible.
So do you think that that makes them visionaries because they're reinterpreting the Bible and now people view it that way? Because they're not actually, they weren't seeing ahead at something. They're actually just interpreting something their own way. I mean, basically then, what about Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message? He's reinterpreting in biblical.
Yeah, but what I would take difference with Milton and Dante is that they both saw things in an incredibly visual way. There's so much detail, especially in the Inferno, that he goes into there, where Eugene Peterson's just kind of off his rocker.
Interesting. Yeah. Can we talk real quickly about the devil?
Yeah, I like Satan. Oh, no, I don't like Satan.
Wow. This is a weird episode.
This is a weird episode.
So you brought up a good point. People probably think they know the story of how Satan fell based on just these common tradition stories told. But the Bible isn't explicit about that.
Not very, no.
So do you think, now in all of your study, do you feel like the common idea that Satan and a third of the angels fell, and that's, I mean, do you think that's for real? Because that's basically based on some prophetic literature that we've drawn to become Satan. So what do you think, what's the real story? Let's go behind the scenes. How did Satan become the devil?
I don't know. I think that there probably was some sort of fall. I think you can infer that much from scripture. But beyond that, the details are pretty scarce.
I want to come back to this topic. Maybe now is not the right time. And so let's study this a little.
Okay. Well, a Satan episode.
Nice.
That'll be fun.
Good.
Maybe episode 666.
Oh, can we wait that long?
Well.
We're only on episode 80.
Well,
how about 86?
What if we promise to do it right after our Alan Moore show?
No, we're never doing the Alan Moore show. That's, I think we're taking that off.
Oh, okay.
That's off the schedule.
That's not going to happen.
All right, I'm ready.
Number one.
Ben, could it be anybody else? Gosh.
You're not going to do what I think you're going to do.
The number one science fiction visionary in our history, Rod Serling.
Oh, yeah. That's not what I thought you were going to do. Thank God.
Rod Serling, best known as the creator and writer of the science fiction television series, The Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone.
I love the show.
I've never seen it.
What? Why?
I've never seen it. I've ridden the ride at Disney World.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, it's fun. I don't like rides very much.
I don't know a lot about Rod Serling's personal life, but I do know that he was an American screenwriter, novelist, television producer, and narrator, best known for his live television drama of the 1950s.
Is this Wikipedia again?
No, just some things I knew in my head.
Okay.
The Twilight Zone. That's what we're talking about there.
Yeah.
So he was the writer behind this, and many different science fiction stories and even some things that have ended up coming true found their origin in some of his short stories. Because the way that the format of The Twilight Zone is each episode is its own individual thing. You could watch any of them and they're not connected at all. They're just little stories, snapshots of these different crazy ideas that he had. Some things in his shows have ended up coming true. Some things have just inspired other shows or other books or other movies. And so an originator, a visionary, Rod Serling.
Good list.
Not Sterling. Rod Serling.
Serling.
Said it wrong.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, so nice job. Your top five was worse than mine, but it was still good.
Well, I don't know if that's entirely true. At least I've read and admired the works of everyone on my top five.
There was one that I didn't read and admire. True. But I also had a top five, whereas you had a top six.
Well, no.
Yes?
Well, six is one better.
Six is, well, it is one more, but the goal was to have five.
Well, I just had a tie, you know.
Let's do some runner-ups.
Okay.
Runner-up number one, Ray Bradbury.
Oh, yeah, he's a good one. Alex Proyas, the director of Dark City, I, Robot, which I didn't like, and Knowing.
What? Did you like that movie?
Yeah.
I never saw it. Ray Bradbury, author of Fahrenheit 451 and The Martian Chronicles, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Have you read The Martian Chronicles?
I have.
I haven't.
I know.
I read 451. What's your favorite thing about The Martian Chronicles?
Oh, I read them a long time ago. I don't remember them at all.
But
probably the Martians.
I was just going to say, true or false, there's Martians inside.
Pretty sure that's true.
My next one, Jules Verne.
Oh, yeah. The Wachowski brothers.
Wait, I get to say something about sorry. Him. Jules Verne, reference in some of my favorite movies, Back to the Future. Remember that?
Nope.
Doc deigned his kids, his two sons, Jules and the other one, Vern, after Jules Verne.
He did?
Back in the cowboy days. Jules Verne was around between 1828 and 1905.
Was that in the third movie?
Yeah,
the third movie. I hate it, the third movie.
Jules Verne, you will know his works, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, A Journey to the Center of the Earth, Around the World in 80 Days. I could go on and on, but not forever, because he only wrote some books, not all of the books ever.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear some more?
No. Was that not the answer you were looking for? Yes, I'd love to hear some more.
From the Earth to the Moon, Around the Moon, A Floating City, The Survivors of the Chancellor, The Steam House, The Green Ray, 800 Leagues on the Amazon.
Who's fond of leagues?
The Vanished Diamond. You want to hear some more?
No.
Ticket number 962, 9672.
So I had the Wachowski brothers as my next runner-up.
2 years Vacation.
I like The Matrix.
The Village in the Treetops.
Cloud Atlas looks pretty good.
Master of the World.
Yeah.
The Golden Volcano.
I feel like this podcast is just falling apart around us.
Okay. All right. So Wachowski brothers, Matrix. Yes.
Yeah.
Check. Cloud Atlas, I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah, it looks good.
I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
But I think it should be good.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Speed Racer?
I didn't see it.
Wachowski brothers.
I know.
How'd you feel about V for Vendetta?
Didn't see it.
Do you want to borrow it? I have it on Blu-ray.
Okay.
I wanted to watch it with you once.
Oh, yeah.
But then we stopped talking about Alan Moore.
Yeah. Maybe we can do an Alan Moore show sometime.
I don't think we should.
Probably not.
Season 4.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Wachowski Brothers, not a bad choice. Not the best choice, but whatever.
Well, that's why they're on the runner-up list.
My next runner-up, Philip K. Dick.
Yeah. Have you read anything by him?
I have read nothing by him.
Oh my gosh, maybe we need to have a new rule for our top five.
But I've seen movies that were based on his writings.
Well, that
Blade Runner, Total Recall, Minority Report, Paycheck, Next, The Adjustment Bureau. I've seen tons of work that's based on his work.
Yeah, but I can tell you that every single one of those, having read most of the stories behind them, is incredibly different than the movies.
Plus, I had to because my friend Wayne Henderson, over at MediaVoiceOvers.com, is a huge Philip K. Dick fan. So actually, this was just a shout out to Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Wayne. Good to say hi to you again. I didn't hear from him. You should call in, Wayne. We haven't heard from you in a while. 612-4121.
SFC.
Okay. Well, Ben, next runner-up.
Alistair Reynolds, author of Revelation Space, Chasm City, and other great works. He is a great sci-fi mind. Incredible visionary in terms of the way he's designed spaceships and the way he talks about that stuff. If you like hard science fiction and like cool spaceships, check him out.
Next one, Charlie Kaufman.
Oh, yeah.
He is a screenwriter, producer, director. His film, probably his best known films would be Being John Malkovich, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Adaptation, did you ever see that?
Love it.
Yeah, so definitely... good guy there. Actually, I don't know what he's like personally, but...
yeah, we don't know.
Very creative.
Yeah.
Next.
Well, I have one more.
I have two more.
And I'm debating whether or not I should strike this one from the list.
Why?
Because I put you down for coming up with the sci-fi Christian.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
But I don't know. I don't know. I'm waffling a little here.
It's funny that you... because one of my next ones... It's somebody who we both know. One of my runners-up for Visionary was God.
Oh. Yeah. You gave God a runner-up? That's like a backhanded compliment. Here, God, have a consolation prize. I haven't read anything by Isaac Asimov, but he's better than you.
God. When it comes to... Casting Vision, he's a good one.
He's pretty good at it.
Well, thanks for putting me on the list. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm not sure you entirely deserve it because you have given my spot to Kobe. You called me a guest host.
Technically, you did abandon me.
I did abandon you.
This is...
That was for your own good.
We're having this out right here, right now. This is unscripted.
Okay.
This is what happened, folks. After we did our Inception episode, episode 30...
Perception of Inception.
36 or 37. We had this plan where Ben would record one. All I asked of you is one day a month.
Yeah.
Then we could do news. listener feedback.
Yeah.
And main topic, get 3 episodes done in one day. We don't have to necessarily even go weekly because we weren't anyways.
Yeah.
3 episodes spread over a month. We do, before we even do one of those 1 days, which is, keep in mind, 30 to 31 days a month except for February, which you get 20 or 29.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
I just needed one of those days.
One of them.
And then, before we even did the first day, before we even got to day one of you recording with me, you said, I can't do it.
Can't do it.
Explain.
Well, I can't explain publicly because it was personal reasons, but...
Nothing you told me about.
Personal family stuff.
Okay. I shouldn't have said nothing on the air. I mean, nothing you told me privately is what I should have said.
So it was family stuff. I told you about some of that last fall.
One day.
Yeah, I know. I abandoned you.
Yes. And
then you replaced me.
And you know I have...
Kobe!
You know I already have abandonment issues.
I know. I kind of played into those a little bit.
So for you now to just waltz back into my life, think you can have your spot back. I mean, it's not automatic.
Well, you're going to need another co-host once I scare Kobe away and kick him out of his spot.
Well, that we'll just have to wait and see.
Operation Down with Kobe commences now. Join me, Sci-Fi Christian Nation.
Sci-Fi Christians, stick with me. I've been here for you since the beginning.
Yeah, I'm not down with Matt Anderson.
I never left you. I've never forsaken you.
Yeah.
Ben turned his back on you.
I did. But I'm back. You guys had to suffer under Kobe for a while so you could know how good things were
back in the day. When Kobe hears this, his feelings might actually be hurt by you. Are you willing to do that?
It's all fun, Kobe. I like you.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh, yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah, put him on there. I don't know if everything he writes is sci-fi. Yeah. I don't even know if he's that visionary.
Not really.
I did like some of his stuff, though. I think he's more of a political commentary, social commentary, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to give him a shout-out, because if I gave God a shout-out, of course Kurt Vonnegut needs one.
Of course.
So
wouldn't want him to feel left out.
Mm-mm. Did you know that we...
What about Satan? Because he's giving, like, demonic dreams to people that drives them nuts, and he's inspiration for such films as The Exorcist. I think you got to put Satan on your list if you're going to include God.
I'm not pro Satan, though.
Well, this isn't about who you're pro. It's about who's a good visionary.
Can we read some of the Sci-Fi Christian listeners' picks?
Yeah.
Jason Fancher. He has wrote... Hey, Jason, by the way. You want to say hi, Jason?
Hi, Jason.
Jason and I are new friends. When we became friends, this is kind of weird. That night on Facebook, I was checking out his timeline. I just started liking tons of stuff because we have a lot of similar interests. But like I
from
liked
10 years ago. That's creepy.
No. Why did you drop that?
I didn't drop it.
But I liked so many of the things on his timeline. I actually felt compelled to go and write him a message, like saying, "Hey, thanks for being my friend. Just liked a bunch of stuff. Not trying to be creepy, but
that's a little creepy.
That was a little bit. But anyways, hi Jason. Here's your list. As you may know, since you put it up there, J. Michael Straczynski.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
Yeah.
So this is what I know about him. He created Babylon 5, I believe.
Yep.
And I think he writes for comic books.
Spider-Man.
What else do we know about him?
Not much else.
Should we see what Wikipedia knows?
No.
All right. Next up, Jason had also had Chris Carter.
X-Files.
No, the football player.
Oh, yeah.
Great quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
He wasn't a quarterback.
Great wide receiver.
That he was.
Great wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow.
I knew that. I did know that. That was just a mistake, a little slip up.
That's okay.
Chris Carter of the X-Files.
Yeah.
What do you think? Visionary?
Not especially.
Why not?
Well, I mean, alien stuff has been done before. I think that's the difference between a creator and a visionary.
The reason I didn't put Damon Lindelof on the list is for the same reason.
Yeah.
Isaac Asimov, he stole my idea. Rod Serling, he stole my idea. Gene Roddenberry, he stole my idea.
Wow. Maybe you just read Jason's list and added in God and called it good enough.
Kobe, who we've been talking about tonight, has added Ray Bradbury.
I have to give that one to Kobe. Well done, sir.
Mickey Kitt. Maybe this is Mikey. Mickey. Mickey, how you doing?
Hey.
This is Matt.
This is Ben.
You have put Herbert on the list. I can only assume that you're talking about Herbert George Wells.
Frank Herbert?
Who's Frank Herbert?
Author of Dune?
No idea who that is.
You've never heard of Dune?
No.
We've talked about it on the show.
You have talked about it. Okay, so not Herbert George Wells?
I don't think so.
Okay, so Frank Herbert, tell us a little bit about Dune, just as a refresher.
Well, it takes place on a desert planet.
George Lucas stole the idea for Star Wars from Dune?
He did. He ripped it off. And it's a great book. You should read it.
Nice. Mike, our friend, yeah, Mike Poteet.
I like Mike.
Has added, oh, he said everyone on Jason's list that we already read, plus H.G. Wells and J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah.
Wow. We're in pretty good agreement, guys. Good work. And you then
kind of took everything from the comments
and then on your Jason list. Jason has actually then added on that he will someday be on the list of.
Ooh.
So, Jason, are you a creative person out there? Do you write things?
I'll add Jason to my runners-up list. I'll give him your place.
Oh, okay. And then finally, my mom actually has added something.
Somebody voted for your mom, or your mom commented?
No, my mom didn't comment. I was asking her before I had supper with her, and I asked her who she thought should be on the list, and she instantly said Arthur C. Clarke. Are you familiar?
Yeah. Rendezvous with Rama, 2001.
Yeah, 2001, Space Odyssey. That was the reason that she picked him.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Space Odyssey, Space Odyssey 2001. I watched
part of it.
Not good, or not, is okay?
I got bored because the first 30 minutes is just monkeys dancing around.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. So,
I'm not even kidding.
Okay.
The movie starts with 30 minutes of monkeys.
All right. So, anyways, that's the top five sci-fi visionaries.
I tell you what, Matt, I'm going to let you keep your spot because you were the one who envisioned the Sci-Fi Christian, which is a brilliant show. I understand you had to do what you had to do when I left, and I don't fault you for it.
All right, guys. So,
you're on the list.
Stay tuned. Next episode, 81, is going to be all about the Sci-Fi Feud 2012.
Yeah.
Some of what we've just been talking about will be reflected on in more detail. But for now, I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono, co-host and co-creator of the Sci-Fi Christian.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Signing off.
Signing off.